Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship at Plains Presbyterian Church. As we are still in a transitional period, it's nice to actually have some people actually back here in the pews. But we recognize that many, many, many of our members are still worshiping virtually, and welcome to all of them as well. The church is slowly returning to some sort of normalcy, and our calendar is starting to fill in again. A couple of things that I would like to point out, reminders more than anything else. Deacons are meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
No? Right after church.
Right after church. Okay, so that is changed from what's in your program. Right after church. Session is meeting tomorrow night, both here in person and via Zoom. And the Reverend Dr. Murata will be on vacation starting on the 22nd. So a week from today, our own Tim Rausch will be filling the pulpit. Please note, of course, that a week from tomorrow is Memorial Day, and the church office will be closed. Are there any other announcements, sir?
Sir. Just a reminder to that, to those of you who are in worship, there are a few of us here today. It's great to have faces to look at when we're leading worship. It's a joy to see you back with us. And for those who are joining us virtually, we're still a work in progress, but I'm not getting any panicked waving or signaling from Ron that there's a problem. So it looks like we're A-okay. So please continue to extend us your grace as we go through this time. We're glad to be able to begin that transition process together. And just a reminder again to Zoom folks, as well as those here, as we transition, if your comfort begins to wane on some of these things, on gathering, not gathering, please do what you feel is right. We support you, and we have many ways to care for you, in spite of the fact that we can't be all together this morning. So I see a few hands have gone up. I think one behind you, potentially, and one in front of you that you relate to by covenant. So,
yes, my announcement is we are not going to do full choir after talking with choir members and so on. But I do want special music, whether that be a violin solo, a flute solo, a vocal quartet, whatever. So please let me know if you're willing to do that. Thank you.
A couple of announcements from the deacons. One, the first thing is we contributed some money to help buy blankets for people through Church World Service, and we received a nice little thank you note from them, but, and they wanted us to pass on to you how much they appreciate the fact that you've given some money for that. And then I just want to remind you again about the 1 Great Hour sharing offering. There's envelopes out in the narthex, and the kids have the little fish banks. So sometime as we get closer to more of us being here, we'll go ahead and collect that offering at that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. For anybody virtually who may not have been able to hear Julie, just point out the nice little thank you note that's included in the program about the blankets that were donated to Church World Services. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing none, let's calm our hearts, move to our time of worship, give Steve a chance to find where that page is in his program. There we go. Would you please stand with me as you feel so moved at home and here in our sanctuary, and let's join together in the prayer of praise and adoration.
God of grace, you have made our minds, so help us to know you. You have made our hearts, so help us to love you. You have made our voices, so help us to sing your praise. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so together we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. I invite you to remain standing and find a blue hymnal. Hopefully you grab one on your way in if you're here in the sanctuary. At home it's printed in your program. It's number 341, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
All three verses.
All three verses.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son.
Amen. It is with great joy I say to you, hear the good news. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who respect God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. In the name of the Sovereign who loves us, and the sacrifice for us, we are forgiven today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As it was in the beginning,
whether we are together here in this place or whether we are at home worshiping, easy for me to say virtually, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You may be seated this morning.
So if you have a pew Bible, it's on verse 939, and we are reading verses 15 through 21 of the 14th chapter of John. Jesus is speaking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. He will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Here is our lesson.
Young people, as we think about, since our microphone is here, I got to stay here for today. As we think about our time together and how I haven't seen you face to face for a little while, it is good to see you. I am reminded today when we read this chapter, when Ron read it last week and when Steve didn't finish it, but got pretty close to finishing it, of an experience from my childhood. I went to a private Christian school growing up in Ashland, Ohio. Loved the school. Great school. Every spring, we had a thing called the speech meet, which was an opportunity for children to memorize a poem and then sort of recite it, you know, something appropriate. Or, as was the case for me when I did it, you could also memorize a passage of scripture and then talk about it. Well, being one that I preferred the Bible to Emily Dickinson and things like this, I memorized scripture. And specifically, I memorized a very large portion of this chapter, what Ron started, and as it went down through what Steve read. And then once you finished reading the scripture, or should I say memorizing it, and then regurgitating it upon command, you provided exposition. You had to kind of talk about what it meant. And one of our neighboring schools, they were good at this. Oh, they were good at this. Their pastor would help the children. And they had even little ones, a little 3-4 point, what this means to them and how it all works out and how it flows together. And they always got that pretty blue ribbon for doing that. Always got that. Not that I'm bitter or jealous 40 years later. But they always got the blue ribbon because they knew it so well. I read this passage, and as I think about it, because this is a very detailed passage, there's a lot going on here as Jesus is preparing to leave his disciples. He's kind of, this is it, this is what I've got for you. I'm leaving here quickly, so this is important. My exposition, I still remember it, is this passage tells me God loves me, which is true, but which is not nearly as deep as my sisters and brothers from Mansfield, Ohio, who had multi-points for it. But for me, it was just enough to spend time with the scripture and say, God loves me because of what I'm hearing here in this passage. And so although scripture sometimes seems daunting to read and challenging to think about and apply in your own life, I encourage you, sometimes it is just that simple. I may have got the white ribbon for that one, but it doesn't devalue in any way, shape, or form that God loves me. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are thankful to be your church this morning. And as we head to the time where we spend it with your word, speak to our hearts and our minds and help these young people that as they continue in their own walks, as they continue to grow in their own faith, you would speak to them and reveal yourself to them. And now, Lord, prepare our hearts and minds for this scripture that as we hear it, it may speak to us in a new way. So in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. My text for today for you comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 21 through 22, excuse me, through 31. It is found in your pew Bible on page 965 for those who follow along with us. And one of the joys that I have had in this time of flexibility is not always reading out of this translation, is I picking a new translation. It seems like pretty much every week and finding something new. And so new translation again this week for you from the New American Standard today, because I like the way that it says this for us today. Again, John 17, verses 22 through 31. Listen and hear God's word for you. Then Paul stood up in the Areopagus and delivered this address. Men of Athens, I noted that in every respect you are scrupulous, religious. As I walked around and looked at the shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. Now what you are thus worshiping in ignorance, I intend to make known to you, for that God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor does he receive man's service as if he were in need of it. Rather, it is he who gives to all life and breath and everything else. From one stock he made every nation of mankind to dwell on the face of the earth. It is he who set limits to their epochs and fixed the boundaries of their region. They were to seek God, yes, to grope for him, and perhaps eventually to find him, though he is not really far from any one of us. In him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have put it, for we too are his offspring. If we are in fact God's offspring, we ought not to think divinity as something like a statue of gold or silver or stone, a product of man's genius and his art. God may well have overlooked bygone periods which men did not know him, but now he calls on all men everywhere to reform their lives. He has set the day on which he is going to judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, one whom he has endorsed in the sight of all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for Paul's message to us. And as we stop in our lives and consider it, speak to us. Speak to our hearts and our minds so that we may hear what it is he's saying. And he may hear what it is God is calling for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. I want to begin by speaking so we understand where we are in Acts, about its context of Acts 17. Where is it situated? For I suspect, although you know pretty much that Paul's on a missionary journey, that the minute details of what's happening here you may not be totally familiar with. And so let's set some context up together. This will help us see why Paul, in what he writes to the Athenians here, why it is so important for us as we transition in our lives, hopefully, back together soon. In Acts 17, we find Paul is in the Gentile-based mission field, as we often do in this book. Specifically, as you noticed, he is in Athens, a city known for its tolerance to thought and openness to discussion on a wide range of topics, whether it's science, theology, mathematics, something I'm missing, philosophy. They're open there. We know that he has been there historically for quite some time, as our text begins today, because this is a place where Paul has taken refuge, the city of Athens. But refuge from what, you might ask? Why would he go to a Gentile city for refuge? Backing up in Acts a little bit, while Paul was in Thessalonica in the previous chapter, he became afraid for the safety of his brothers, Silas and Timothy, who were preaching the gospel in an environment that was becoming increasingly hostile to the good news and to their presence. Those two church leaders, Silas and Timothy, were sent back to Berea for their safety. They go that way, by Paul's word. He goes the other way. He escapes the Jewish leaders of the day who are inciting the people against the gospel by heading deeper into Greece. We could speculate, I suppose, that Paul is going this way and they're going that way because you can't chase them both at the same time. And he expects them to go after him. He travels through Greece to Athens, and he stays there for quite a period of time. In Athens, Paul practices attentiveness and listening. He's discerning while he watches these Athenians and their worship of their idols and their false gods. We know that he is distraught by what he is seeing from the people until his eyes happen upon that altar to an unknown god, which we presume, and Paul presumes rightly, to be a reference to our God. This altar stops him in his tracks as Paul is walking through the streets and watching and listening and being present with his brothers and sisters of God in Athens. He stops, he thinks, and he reflects. Here in Athens, it was not forbidden to worship any god an individual chose. They're polytheistic, aren't they? Seeing an altar to an unknown god was not completely surprising. In fact, it may have just been the Athenians' way of saying in their own day, you worship what you like. If we haven't got it on all of these altars, you can use that one if you'd like to. But it was what that altar represents to Paul that is the subject of his message today. Back to his story. As he spent time in the city, Paul is eventually brought before the rulers of the city for debate. Potential arrest is on the table, and the message we have in chapter 17 is placed before us by the apostle. I am specifically, as I read this and reread it this week and again, and it's been the source of some doctoral research that I have done, I'm held in verse 27. I can't get past that specific verse. In that verse, Paul is unpacking to his audience how he believed that they were living in relation to the revelation of God in their lives. Paul believes that this altar to an unknown God is God's way of initiating the conversation or the relationship with humanity, even if we're not aware that we want to have the conversation in the first place. Do we need to believe that God moves in our hearts and lives when we expect it? Yes. Do we need to believe it happens when we don't expect it? Yes. I wonder if those are the same moment when we boil it down for ourselves. In verse 27, we read together from Paul that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. That middle clause, that's the linchpin of the whole thing. If perhaps they might grope for him. It's an interesting phrase when we stop and think about it together for a few moments. That idea holds with it this understanding from its root word, solapso. It's not a frequently used word in the New Testament, so we don't have a lot to fall back on linguistically to say, what on earth does this mean for us in Greek? Outside of 1 John 1 and Hebrew 12, where it's more of a symbolic reference, the best understanding of what Paul is saying can come to us in Luke 24:39, as Jesus stands before the disciples following his death and resurrection and says to them, in essence, in their own way, touch me and see, I am alive. In Luke 24, we know that the story of Thomas is withheld from the rest of the gospel narrative. But the author Luke gives us that one moment there, touch and see that I'm alive, and this moment here to tie them together. This word carries with it a sense of investigation and discovery. To solapso is to lightly touch, to feel after. When I envision the word, I think about reaching out into the darkness before me, hoping, feeling for something that is just beyond my physical awareness. Something I can't quite grasp, but I'm going towards it. I'm getting there. It comes also from another root word, to wipe off or to rub away. It's an investigative word. So back to our text, Paul believes that in the building of an altar to an unknown God, the Athenians are feeling after, if you will, the God of creation that Paul presents is there to teach them about. Even if when they built that altar, they were not aware of any quickening or any seeing of God in them, Paul believes they were even in that moment beginning to sense and wonder about our God. I wonder where those moments can occur in your life. What is it in Christ that you are investigating in our transition time, wondering about, groping after to find? Perhaps as Butler County is continuing to reopen, you find yourself reaching out to see what is out there, what is possible, what is happening, and trying to tie that into what is God doing in that place. This provides us the chance to enter the text and to serve God and support the gospel's overall message, because the Athenians are not the only people who live that word out in their lives. If perhaps they might grope for him and find him, do suggest to us a concreteness to follow in practice. In this text, Paul may not specifically reference any Christian practice or discipline. There's no mention of, since God is being revealed to you, go and pray, attend worship, serve as you were served, be devoted to him. But it's implied, isn't it? It's an investigatory time, almost blindly reaching out toward God and what God could be calling you to do and you to become. Paul's words seem to support the idea here of experimentation with God, a little trial and error Christianity. And Christian searching that may not be immediately fruitful in the moment as you're looking for it, but that doesn't mean that it's not active and God at work in it. Paul's words support this idea. I find many people, and I bet you do as well, who are living in this COVID-19 world, doing a lot of this behavior of feeling after or investigating which choice or action is right when addressing the pandemic in one way or the other. They think they know what to believe and how to live it out, only to pivot rather quickly when something new emerges, the news changes, and they're off in that direction as well. That ambiguity, or Paul's idea that we might perhaps grope after it, feels like a new defining characteristic of this world that we should not run away from, but instead realize it can shape us. God can shape us. It's something placed before us for a reason by him. What we once thought was completely firm, unchangeable, now feels more adaptable, doesn't it? More flexible. And adaptability is important, not just in our church, but in Paul's church, as he works with those Athenians and tries to share the gospel with them. That which was concretely affirmed has become a prayerful matter that is taken to the Lord. We think that we know how to live and how to act and how to behave tomorrow, but as soon as I go to the news later today, I'll find myself in question and in doubt, feeling like I'm investigating, reaching out. Lord, what are you calling? How does this look? What am I supposed to do now? Our text ends with words of support from Paul, but not in a way that we might necessarily think. You may not connect your traditional understanding of God and God's voice and call with what the Athenians have done, but I think a connection is present, needs to be seen. Even though these people almost stumble upon God, upon the gospel, accidentally perhaps, Christ still is at work there, even if no one outside of Paul could see that Christ was there in the first place. Christ was working in their lives. The path of God is not always a straight one, but is sometimes bending back and forth and leading us where it has to go. There are plenty of experiences of God in their lives that they don't necessarily connect to God, but God is there, and so they go after it. They feel towards it. They reach out, as we do in the church. If we believe that in him we live and move and have our being, as verse 28 says, then we should consider and allow that what God is doing in our lives and in this time of COVID-19 to connect together, even if one or both seem to be a bit of a bother for us. It may be hard to find. You may struggle. They struggle, as many already have, with how to address this virus and to connect it to somehow serving and working with and for God. But God is there. God will always be there. I wonder where the places in our lives are that we perhaps grope after, perhaps search for, perhaps investigate. Where do we find God in those moments? How do we find God in those moments? And what does that revelation, as Paul is sharing it with the Athenians, what does it mean for us? As we're in yellow, and we hope to be green one day. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be together as your church. We are thankful to consider you, to lean in towards you, to seek after you. And so, Lord, as we do so, we continually trust in you, we continually believe in you, we lean upon that ambiguity. And as we do so, Lord, we find you waiting, the one we live and move and have our being in. Thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand with me as we are gathered in the worship space or at home, if you choose to, as we confess what we have come to believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated today. It has been about 60 days, hasn't it, since we have been together in this way to sort of be the body of Christ physically in this worship space. And so before we share joys and concerns, I do have a few to share with you today that I was made aware of either through email or text or phone call. We are curious because we have missed it. Where have you seen God at work? Tim.
Well, I feel obvious, maybe this is too obvious, but nope. We see God at work and we're able to worship together again. And we've missed this. And it's been wonderful that you folks have been able to pull together quickly the technology to let us continue worshiping. We never missed a week.
Yeah.
That we were sitting at home, and it's amazing that worked as well as it did. Thank you. But I see God at work, and that now, people are able to start to get back together, start to get a little more normalcy, and we're sitting in our normal pew in church where we always sit, and all the congregants are sitting where they always sit, and it's wonderful to have some normalcy back in.
It is good to be back together. Thank you for sharing your story with us. If your pew was marked off, I'm sorry. I didn't mark the pews, so I can tell you who did later. Where have you seen God at work, Bert?
I have run into a wicked person in 2 months.
I didn't. You didn't run into what person in 2 months?
I said I have not run into a wicked person in 2 months.
All right. Isn't that interesting? Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing your stories with us this morning. I received a message this morning from Maggie. They were planning to try to make it in today, but said they couldn't make it today. Please keep Arch in your prayers. And so we will keep Arch in our prayers. When I got here this morning, there was a note on the pulpit. asking us to keep Joyce, who is Wanda Rice's sister-in-law, in her family and friends in our prayers. Joyce has passed away. And so we will keep her in our prayers today as well. Joanne messaged me and still is dealing with quite a bit of leg pain. So we will leave her before God, commit her to God's care, and ask God to be with her. Do you have joys and concerns to share today yourselves? Julie.
So I want to thank everybody for praying for our son Peter. Tomorrow, they still don't know really what's wrong, but tomorrow he starts wearing a heart monitor for 30 days, and then, you know, hopefully we'll see from that, otherwise more testing. So please continue to keep him in our prayers. Really appreciate it.
We will keep Peter in our prayers today. Tim.
We had a neighbor that we were praying for, Reg, who he's like 52 or 3 or so, and he has leukemia. But it's good news. He's in remission. He was in the hospital for 54 days. He set like a new indoor record, 54 days, and they gave him arsenic to kill the leukemia. I thought that was curious. Arsenic and vitamin A. What do I know? Not a medical person. But he's walking his dog this morning.
Wonderful.
He doesn't obey like the 6 foot distance. He obeys like a 25 to 50 foot distance. I was no closer to him than I am to the pastor right now. I mean, he's definitely afraid of his immune system is like down to nothing.
Yeah.
But he was in 54 days.
Wow.
And so thank you for the prayers. It worked really good. And thank you for prayers for my wife, who's sitting next to me, who 3 weeks and a couple days ago had fairly major surgery. And through the Lord's love, she's bounced back to herself pretty much. And thank you.
We're glad to see you with us this morning, Amy.
It's good to be here.
And we are glad to hear your neighbor is in remission from leukemia. Are there other joys and concerns? Bert.
Prayers for my friend Ed and my sister-in-law Linda, who are battling a potentially fatal disease.
We will keep them in our prayers today. Are there others this morning? Then let us be the church. Gracious God, we are glad to be your church today. We are thankful to be participating in your work, thankful to be in your house worshiping, thankful to be virtually gathering together to give you praise and to give you thanks. Loving God, we are thankful to share our joys with you. We are confident as we share our concerns with you. We are blessed because we know how you have been at work in our lives as we've slowly begun to transition to some normalcy, or what will become the new normal for each of us. We are thankful, Lord God, today. It is that spirit which brings us to these concerns and these joys. It is a joy to see each person here today, to recognize each person as they log into our virtual platforms, to see them, to know they are there, to know they are worshiping with us. It brings us great joy. We join Tim today in being thankful that Amy is doing well, recovery progressing following her surgery. We are thankful to hear his neighbor is in remission from leukemia. 54 days in the hospital, now in remission, walking the dog, being normal as one can be in this time. We lift up Peter to you today, thankful that he continues on the road towards recovery. But we pray that as he has this heart monitor for the next 30 days, that you would give the doctors and those caring for him and Peter and his family clarity as to what causes and how to treat it and to move forward. Be with him today. We think of Joanne, who is still dealing with some leg pain and mobility issues. We ask you to resolve that for her. We lift Arch to you today, not feeling well under the weather. Be with him and restore his health. For Ed and for Linda, who are in their own ways battling, as Bert told us, potentially fatal diseases. We pray for healing in their lives, restoration to their health. We pray for the Rice family today as they mourn and gather together to spend time thinking and remembering Joyce. Entered into your resurrection, we are thankful for that, but we know that there is grief that has been left over. So be with the Rice family. Be with those who loved and cared for Joyce. And for any of the needs and concerns that remained unspoken in our hearts, we commit them to you. We trust you to be at work there. We trust you to continue to shape and to mold us. Now, as we continue in our worship, Lord, hear us now together in one voice as we offer you the prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn together is in your red hymnal on page 348, or it is in your packet, which was presented. It is Faith of Our Fathers. Will you stand as we worship the Lord together? For the blessing. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.